All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Civility 360, your platform for all things civility, where civility, influence, and action are our deliverables. You know, I am super excited to come to you every single week. I'm your host, Professor Vernet A. Joseph, and I'm always joined by my good friend, your host, the global world civility leader, Sir Clyde Rivers. How you doing today, my friend?
Professor, I'm fantastic. Thank you. Always excited for our show. You know, as we're talking offset a minute ago, relevance is vital in this day and hour because people need answers.
Yes.
And I believe that our show, Civility 360, is producing answers that you can live on.
My. Man, listen, we know without a shadow of a doubt that we have been giving you pearls and nuggets of wisdom. They are transforming your life. Thank you for each and every one of you who have been sending emails in, text, and letting us know that this is relevant information that is literally helping you, your business, and your life. Now, what we endeavor to do, again, is to show you a 360-degree angle of what life and business looks like. We want you to know that civility is the engine that runs the world. So if you have questions, you have thoughts, you have concerns, if you'd like to get us to come out to where you are, if there's a partnership or some type of collaboration when it comes to civility that you would like to propose, you can send it in to civility360@gmail.com. If you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, we ask that you go ahead and check us out at Civility360. Look up YouTube. We've got tons of videos already of the Civility 360 shows, of the actual State of Civility summits, and even our town hall. Listen to me very clearly. We are here for you. And it's all about what? Civility in action. We're not here to just talk about it. We want to give you what you need to succeed in this life. So again, today, we're going to be having a great discussion on the topic, watch this, when histories collide. Oh, man, I am so excited about this topic.
Yeah.
When histories collide. Sir Clyde Rivers, if you would share with the listening audience a little bit about what this actually means, and then we'll start digging and diving into it, my friend.
Yes, what it is a couple years ago, Professor Vernet, I wrote a book. The book is called When Histories Collide. I remember I was sitting on the side of my bed. I just woke up and the Lord began to speak to me. And he says, and again, it was actually, man, racial tension over a police shooting. And the Spirit of God said, the issue in the world is histories collide. And I said, can you tell me more about histories collide? He says, your personal history is your truth. And the other person, their personal history is their truth. So when you're looking at a problem, you have your experience and they have their experience. And what happens is your histories are colliding. So you see it from the way you grew up, and they see it from the way they grew up. And if they grew up with a different experience than what you have, now you have an historical collision. Histories are colliding.
Wow. Are you picking up what is already being put down? We're not even 5 minutes into the segment, folks, and I'm talking about nuggets being dropped. I'm going to drop this microphone and I'm going to walk out of the home studio right now because this is absolutely insane. Let's talk about that, Sir Clyde Rivers. When you say histories collide, you were born in one place in the world and another person may be born in a completely different place. They may be born in a country that they've never seen anyone who looks like you. That's part of their history. But when you come together, we want to make sure that the histories collide, but they don't, watch this, They don't damage each other. We need to allow each other to have our differences and understand, but come to the table ready yes. to learn from one another, as opposed to infighting and breaking things and the collision to where it's like, man, so much damage. So hopefully you all are picking up what is being put down. I know that there are so many different levels and facets to this. You mentioned, you know, as you were sitting down during a time of racial tension with a police shooting, that God dropped this into your spirit. But I also know that in the book, you talk more on a global scale as well. And then there's also, you have a specific a way of attacking what I would call the dialogue. And I want to make sure that we get into that. There's a dialogue model within the book that is revolutionary, that will help even the lay person, the person that's trying to literally communicate with their neighbor, their sibling, their family. Man, it's just dynamic. So I want to dive into it. Let's talk about the cause of global dialogue divide. Let's start there.
What it is this. I didn't realize this, that people only know what they know. So if your experience is only one thing, and I assume that you know more than what your experience are, you don't know more than what your experiences are. And this here is what I've learned. I can step into a nation. I can have all the Western intellect in the world. When I step into a village in another country, they have no idea of what my narrative is.
Come on now.
And they don't have the experience that I have, and I don't have the experience that they have. And guess what? Sometimes all of my Western knowledge won't get me a drink of water if I can't speak the language or communicate with someone.
Come on.
Watch this here. So when you think your language is more powerful than other people, let me give you an example. A couple years ago, I got an actual Razer phone. Man, I was happy. I got it, and I went into the country of Uganda. That morning, I landed early. The airplane got there early. I had a phone. And man, and I tried to call the guy that was picking me up, but I didn't know the international code for the country. So I'm walking around with this Razer phone. Man, I was powered up to go anywhere in the globe.
Come on now.
Let me tell you what happened. I asked people, and they couldn't understand my couldn't understand my accent. My Western beautiful voice.
They didn't know my accent.
So I'm talking, hey guys, can you help me with the phone? They go, what? They and finally after 2 hours, I found someone that could understand my language.
Wow.
My accent. And I had a phone. I could call anywhere in the world. It took me 2 hours to find someone that could understand my accent. So guess what? I had all the power, but no release because historical collisions.
Wow. Let me help you to really, really dial this in. Here you're talking about having in your hand, the palm of your hand, enough technology that it took to put a man on the moon, but it took 2 hours to finally communicate that I need to get from this place to that place. And it's because, watch this, and please hear me very, very clearly, you were not understood. Not that you couldn't communicate, you were communicating in the wrong dialect. It's like traveling to Europe and landing in Germany and Spreche Sie nein kein Deutsch? No, can you help me? No, spreche Sie Deutsch? No, can you help me? And you get nowhere. So what we need to learn from this situation is that what you currently have going on where you are may not transfer where you're going. So before you go, make sure you do your research so that you can be just as effective right where you are when you get where you're going. I hope that you just picked that up, because if you travel internationally and sometimes just nationally,
yeah,
you better understand that there is a difference where you're headed. And then when someone comes to where you are, let's make sure that you extend the same grace that you would want someone else to extend towards you. Talk to us, Sir Clyde Rivers.
And there's a language of experience. If you haven't lived my life, you don't know my song.
Come on now.
And what takes place, we have historical collisions, and everybody has them every day.
Let me explain.
Your life is different than the person you're communicating with. So they only see what they see. You see what you see. So in the book, I talk about listening for change. Some people talk about listening for a change. I talk about how to listen for change. So there's a difference. So when I'm communicating and our histories are colliding and I know it, I've created a mechanism where I can hear your conversation and I'm listening for a place I can connect to potentially move forward.
Wow.
See, in the midst of the day we're in now, we have to listen for that place we can connect to move forward together. Because what good is it if we meet and we have a standoff and we just say, great, we're just standing off. We need to have a place that we can go and say, you know what, as you were talking, Bob, this, let's talk about this more because I can move forward with you here. And you know what, when histories collide, see, there's a communication of listening. Listening is communication. And people think that communication's only talking. Listening is a communication. So we have to teach people the communication of listening. Go ahead, Professor.
Every time I think about this, or we get to a place where we discuss this, I've often told my clients, Sir Clyde Rivers, that you ought to watch this, listen 4 to 5 times more than you speak. And it is interesting for me because I'm a speaker. I talk a lot. So I have to make sure that I'm listening intently and make sure that I understand what's going on around me. And I think that is one of the biggest things when we talk about that global dialogue divide, is that most people aren't listening to hear you. They have something else on their mind. So they're present, but they're not present.
Yes.
And when you don't get the whole of someone, there will always be fragmented parts.
Man.
So with that, there will always be a divide in the dialogue. What are your thoughts?
You're 100% right. And this is what is taking place right now in America with the George Floyd case. We've had conversations for years, but people didn't listen. People didn't listen. And now we're at a point to where we have to listen to each other. We have to listen to each other. And you know what? And this is where histories collide. This book was written for this, to help people learn. A professor, when I understand the mechanism, I can operate in the machine. I understand that when I'm talking to you, it's a foreign language. So as you're talking to me, I have to get my mind ready for knowledge I haven't heard before. Mm. Because so now I'm listening to learn. I'm not listening to speak back and defend. So when I know when histories collide, I have the ability to obtain more knowledge, what makes me smarter.
Yes.
What makes me smarter. And this is why right now in the world, there's historical collisions. And guess what? And people are listening people are listening. I can't say they're listening for a change yet, but they're listening. Mm. And when they're listening, and honestly, I have seen movement. Yes. I've seen policy changing. I see institutions changing. I see people that never spoke out in the past speaking out. Why? What am I saying this for? See, people, they want to make it a black-white issue. No, this, yes, and for some people, it is that. And for other people, it's you can't move humanity forward when you have four flat tires. You can't move the world forward when you have wrong thinking about currency. Currency is people, because listen to me, every idea, every institution that was ever built, it came from a person's idea. It came from an idea from God. So if we have three flat tires, the car's not going to go far. So we have to have conversations to pump the tires back up. So that we can cover all terrain.
Yeah.
Professor, have you seen an all terrain tire? Mm-hmm. An all terrain tire can go, if you put it on your Cadillac, it's not going to go real, it's not going to do really well. Mm-mm. If you put it on a Jeep, you can cover all terrain. So what we've done in the world, we have covered 10% of the terrain. Because the ones at the top have set the actual narrative, but they missed the other 90% of God currency. So now we are bringing historical information together so we can build together. Like I said about the phone when I went to Uganda, had powered up for the whole world, didn't know how to use it because I didn't connect in with the people there. So now when histories collide, we have to listen for change and movement for positive steps. And in this book, Professor, there's a concept that I came up with. Everyone says start with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. I say start with the next step in mind.
Come on now.
Sometimes the end is too far to look at.
Too far.
So it's too far to look at. So and if you're dealing with the short attention span, and you say in 10 years, man, I can't hear you. Mm. But if I say, hey, if I'm willing to engage a dialogue and listen for the next step, we can move forward. That's how we're going to heal our land. Mm-hmm. It's through historical collisions. We have to collide, but out of the collision will come listening, and out of listening, we will find move ahead strategies.
I love it. And as I've been reading, this book, what I've found is not only did we talk about the global divide, right? There was a next step, which we just discussed. Listening becomes that bridge, that we can now walk across together. You see, our histories may collide, but because we're willing to listen and we're willing to get understanding, we now start to create a bridge that we can walk across together. And I love that you go from talking about a global divide to listening as a key that now creates a bridge. And when we start walking across that bridge, something begins to happen. And this is what I can't wait for the world to start moving into. When you listen to each other and you start walking side by side, there's a dialogue that happens. And then there's this thing called honor that starts to build. And I want you to speak towards that. Because you go from talking about a global dialogue divide to bridging that dialogue divide to then an honor dialogue. Help us to understand that.
You know, when basically the more time that we spend in communication, the more of a respect comes.
Mm.
Now I begin to know you. You begin to know me. So now we now honor each other in our dialogue.
Mm.
And when you honor each other's differences in the dialogue, man, you can move forward. Because Professor, what I've seen in this is people want to be heard and they want their point of view acknowledged.
Mm.
So if I acknowledge, yes, man, thank you, John, and this is what you said, I want to make sure I heard you right. Yeah, man, that, yeah. Now I can say almost anything because I've heard. And this is why we have to honor people when they're talking to us. We have to honor their point of view, whether we agree or not. You told me this. So we have to annul hearing what you're saying from acknowledging, meaning I agree with what you said.
Mm.
I may acknowledge, thank you for saying that, Bob. Bob, I 100% disagree. But I've honored the person that was speaking.
Yes. Yes. This is really good. And a lot of times people just want to be, watch this, heard, which means the audience has to be listening. People want to be understood, but before you can understand, you must first listen. Then once you understand, watch this, you can move the needle forward.
Yes.
So I truly, truly appreciate that. You also talk about diplomatic dialogue. Diplomatic dialogue. Break that down for us.
This is after you've had your historical collisions, you've listened for a change. Now you found move ahead ideas, and now you can dialogue with diplomacy to move things forward. Now I'm saying, great, Bob, I'm actually past the hurt. I'm past the initial collision. I've listened. Man, I've heard you. You brought these points up. Man, that's great. That's fantastic. Man, now I've honored you and what you say. Now we come to diplomatic dialogue.
Mm.
And this is where we are now listening for change. We are now talking to each other and we're carving out the strategy right here. Mm. And both of us respect each other now. So it makes it so much easier when it turns to diplomatic dialogue. I'll say, great, you talk, I'm going to listen. Man, I'm going to give you my ideas. You talk, and it's diplomacy now. It turns to diplomacy, because really in life, to move forward, Professor, you must have diplomacy. Diplomacy, because and that's a term where everyone's view is respected.
That's good. That's really, really good. Because what I know is in life, people do want to be respected. They want to be respected, but they have to know respect goes both ways. So when you give respect, you can be respected, right? That's where that dialogue of listening comes in. That's where that diplomatic dialogue comes in. Now, let's talk about, as we go through these phases, we now get to a place where we begin to unite our histories. Talk about it, Sir Clyde Rivers.
When we can unite our histories, it's a beautiful thing, because both of us have gotten more knowledge about each other now. And you know, many times in the midst of conversations, the ignorance is done away with. The actual prejudgments that we all sit down at the table with dissipates. And now we're talking, and it's amazing what can be accomplished when two hearts are working together and they understand there's a cause bigger than us. So we have to make this work. And it's a beautiful thing. I've seen move ahead strategies created that live because both people felt like they were heard and both people were going to push because their idea was validated. So it's the merging of two, and it causes the next positive step to go forward.
That's really good. I want to dive into your dialogue model. I don't want to share it all because they need to go get the book and they need to read it for themselves. But there are certain things in there that I'd love to just kind of pull out if it's okay.
Yeah, yes.
The success grid. Would you share just a snippet about the success grid?
Yeah. What you have to do is you have to establish protocols for communication. So like a example, the key to any successful dialogue is how you set the table for communication. If the table is set wrong, no one's going to eat. So you have to have an actual grid that calls people to win. And that comes through a protocol established for dialogue. It's important because when you sit down, you have to have rules of engagement. If you don't have rules of engagement, the conversations lose focus, it is thrown off track, and you lose the mission, the reason why you were there. So you have to set up success systems, and that will lead you to a success grid.
This is good. Let's talk real briefly about verbal engineer the solution. Verbal engineer the solution.
You have to change the language. And let me explain. The actual language that a problem is created at is not the language that will change it. So you have to create a new vocabulary. So that new vocabulary wakes up different things on the inside of people.
Wow.
I wrote a book with Dr. Don Norai. He's passed. He's the founder of Destiny Image Books. He told me something. He said, Dr. Rivers, you have to know when a word gets tired. I said, what does that mean? He says, a tired word, when you hear it, it doesn't wake anything up on the inside. Professor, there are tired conversations. Words. So every social change is verbally engineered. There was a verbal engineer that created a new language and pushed that language through, and it changed society.
Wow, man, that is what I'm talking about. There was a man many years ago that used to tell stories. And as he would tell you the story, he would pause. And when he came back, he would say, and that is the rest of the story. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
This is what I enjoy the most, because as we talk about histories colliding, you have many different thoughts that are going through your mind. But we have shared with you just a little bit, just a snippet of how you can change the dialogue, how you can be in a room where you may not agree with everything, but you can step out with solutions. Life is meant to be lived. It's meant to be lived to the fullest. And as we continue as a globe, we must have what we would call civil dialogue.
Yes.
And in order to do it, you need this book, When Histories Collide. It will help you to understand how to communicate. It will help you to be diplomatic. It will help you to bridge the gap instead of creating a gap. That's what we've been talking about today. When histories collide, what occurs is all dependent on you. Wow. So that's what we've been discussing today. And I hope that you're picking up what was put down. If you want to learn more about this book, you can definitely go to Amazon and look up When Histories Collide. Listen, folks, our desire is to show you civility from a 360-degree angle. There are areas in your life that you want answers to. We have a solution. We can help you. That's why we're here. So please, ma'am, please, sir, recognize that Civility 360 is your platform for all things civility. And civility, influence, and action are our deliverables. We hope that you understand that we're here for you. If there is something that you heard today that you'd like more clarity on, go and listen again. If you need the actual nuggets, go to Amazon and pick up the book. If you want to learn more about civility, email us at civility360@gmail.com. Be sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we look forward to talking with you again next week. Sir Clyde Rivers, any parting words?
Let's win.
And we can win when we're all in. And when we're all in, we all win.
Well.
Blessings, peace, and civility to each and every one of you.